This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Friends and family, it's a privilege for me to be able to share God's word with you this morning. I believe that God has got a plan and appointment with you today. The message today is all about being chosen by God. And I'd like to start with a testimony, a true story that Nikki Gumbel tells about a young man called Stephen Lungu. He's from Zimbabwe. And Stephen Lungu came to Nikki Gumbel's house and he told his life story. He was the oldest son of a teenage mother from a township in Zimbabwe. She was trapped in a difficult marriage to a man more than 20 years her senior. She dealt with her struggles by drinking heavily. One day when Stephen was 3 years old, his brother and baby sister, his mom took his brother and baby sister into town and saying she's just needing to go to the toilet, she left him with his brother and sister all alone, and she ran away, literally, while he was busy playing in the town square, waiting for his mother. About 2 hours later, he found out that she left him, and they ended up having to stay with his aunt that didn't really want them. So he was rejected, and he was not really chosen. And by the age of 11, Stephen too had run away. So Stephen ran away from home at the age of 11. So you must understand, friends, 3 years old, his mom rejects him. At 11, he runs away and he prefers a life on the streets. And while living on the streets, Stephen grew up and he developed a strong bitterness against God. As a teenager, he was recruited into one of the urban gangs called the Black Shadows. So now he's a gangster, and which carried out violence, theft, and destruction in the streets of Zimbabwe. Well, a traveling evangelist came to town and he came to speak to thousands of people about Jesus in a large tent. Now, Stephen went to firebomb the event. He carried a bag full of bombs. He wanted to attack the event because he wanted to attack God. He was anti-God. And Stephen awaited the moment for his attack. The Black Shadows they were carrying out an attack. And literally what happened was, friends, is this South African evangelist took the stage. His name was Shadrach Maloka, and they announced that the Holy Spirit had warned him that many in the audience may soon die without Christ. So this guy gets up and he says that, and he said, and astonished, the Black Shadows thought someone had figured out that they had come to bomb everyone. And they had figured out their plan. And Stephen Lungu was captivated by the preacher. Now, here's a guy, literally insignificant, not chosen, rejected by everyone. And God gets a hold of his life. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of his story. It's absolutely phenomenal what happened. But I've learned that many people get stuck in that moment of desperation, that moment of disappointment, that moment of rejection. Many people get stuck there. And just because people have not chosen you does not mean that God has rejected you. And what often happens is we project our very disappointments in life upon God. I'll never forget this. I was about 11 years old, and my dream was to be able to play cricket for our school. And I remember just that my desire. I mean, I used to practice cricket. And in break time, you're like the cricket champion. You just think you can play cricket really well. Until the day that I had to put some pads on, until the day I had to go and line it. And you know what? I had dreamt for days before the tryouts, before the trials, I had dreamt of how I'm going to have this amazing, I want to kind of like hit a six to the left, because the boundary was quite a bit closer on the left than it was to the far end. And so I dreamt about hitting a six to the left, and I practiced that shot and I saw it coming. And then the moment that I stepped onto the field with my bat, with my pads, with my gloves and everything, I remember standing there and this guy bowled a spinner. And as he bowled the spinner, I put my foot out forward and the spinner kept, and I was knocked out for a golden duck. It was devastating for me. Thinking I can do something, and I couldn't. And you know what, friends? I was not chosen for the team. And the way that made me feel, it made me feel worthless. It made me feel like I've got less value than my friends. And I don't know about you, but maybe for you, it's been more severe than just a cricket match. Maybe for you, you've gone through a divorce, or maybe you've gone through being laid off. Maybe you've been retrenched, or maybe in the last month or three, you haven't been able to. You've gone for job interviews, and you haven't been chosen for that job interview. And I want to show you today from the scriptures that no matter what man says about you, that doesn't change what God says about you. Because the word of God is still true. Whether you experience that in life or not, the word of God is still true, and you and I need to hold on to the truth, because knowing the truth sets us free. What I've seen with so many people is that they're constantly trying to become what God has already made available for them. I was this moment of trying to be accepted, trying to be chosen, beset me on a path of trying to prove myself for the rest of my life. And you know, it's amazing. After getting saved, I thought maybe that's how I need to act with God. Maybe I need to get that. I can't be bowled out for a golden duck. I need to be able to show that I'm actually worth it. I need to show my value. And so many believers are still on the treadmill. So many believers are still on the treadmill. You might not be like Stephen. You might not be like the guy that's anti-God, but you've accepted God, but you're on this treadmill to try and get God to choose you, to try and get God to like you, to try and get, because you don't like yourself sometimes. I'm here to say to you, friends, that God doesn't want you to be on a treadmill to try and become something else or someone else. God's not called you to try and get to something. The enemy wants you to believe that you don't have it. The enemy wants you to believe that you are not called and that you're not chosen. But I believe that you're going to be liberated today. I'm going to be liberated today as we realize that Christianity, a walk with God, is not about becoming something else. It's about becoming who we already are. Because when you become a new believer, when you become a child of God, when you become a new creation, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. You're no longer that old person. You're already chosen by God. You're already accepted by God. You're already beloved. And because that's who you are, your life now is, Paul writes, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So now your life is not about you and me becoming something. It's about you and me unlocking what God has already made available to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Sadly, because of time and because of this season, we can only take certain verses from certain chapters. So we're going to take some verses from chapter 1 and some verses from chapter 2 today out of the book of 1 Peter. But we are hoping to stay true to the thrust, the theme of the book, of releasing living hope into your life. Now, Peter experienced what it feels like to disappoint God. He experienced what it feels like to deny God. He experienced what it feels like to mess up so badly that he could never ever believe that God would want to use him. But yet he was the one that, when the day of Pentecost came, he was the one that preached and powerfully saw 3,000 people give their lives to Christ. Yet he was the one that walked in the street and his shadow fell on people and they got healed. Yet he was the one that said to the blind, to the beggar, sorry, not the blind beggar, the lame beggar at the gate, beautiful, rise up, silver and gold I have not, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Yet he was the one that the angel came and literally chose him to come and set him free out of prison in the middle of the night while believers were praying. He was the one, even though he messed up, he experienced God choosing him. And as we come to his word, as we come to God's word, I believe that God will reveal to you how he has chosen you and how he has chosen us. It says in verse 14, as obedient children, not becoming, no, this is who we are. We need to live this out, but this is who we are. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I love this. See, Peter's reminding us, listen, my friends, you and I have a brand new DNA. You and I are not born from beneath. We are born from above. You and I don't have earthly. We don't know one another according to the earthly. We know each other according to the heavenly. We are born from above. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are in Christ. We're new creations. And then he says this. He says, we are actually obedient children. Obedience, I believe, flows from consecration. And what is consecration? Consecration and holiness go together. Some people think I need to be perfect as God is perfect. That's not what the Bible says. See, in our church, friends, we don't believe that people must be perfect before they come here. We don't believe that that people can be perfect with our Jesus. It's in Christ that we can become holy. And then when we take on our glorified bodies, then we'll be fully like him. But up until then, we need to be holy. Holy and perfection is two different things. Holiness, if you study the word holy, it means to be set apart. It's set apart. Another way to explain holiness is consecrated. Now, Joshua writes to the Israelites, he says to the people of God, he says, consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. For tomorrow, God's going to do great things. Friends, that's the life of a believer. That's what God's calling us to do, is to be those that are set apart. Many people say, Mark, I would like to obey more. I'm here to say to you that obedience flows from consecration. Most people don't have an obedience problem. They have a consecration problem. If you and I are struggling to consecrate ourselves, that's why daily we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm consecrated for you. I'm here for you. I live for you, God. I want to be consecrated. I want to be set apart, because obedience and life and peace and joy and a relationship with God flows from a devotion to God. Holiness is, Lord, I'm set apart. Another translation would say, holiness means that I'm different. I'm not the same as the world. I'm not like I used to be. I'm a new person. I'm different. Now let's get to 1 Peter 2 verse 9, because I want to spend some time on this. This is so powerful. It says, but you are a chosen people. Can you say chosen? You're a chosen people. I love how Rory spoke about this last week. You're a chosen people. We're not like we were. We are chosen. Now listen, he doesn't say you must become a chosen people. He speaks present. You are already chosen. He says, you're a royal priesthood. I love this. Royalty. Can you just sit up a bit? There were you watching. Maybe you're watching on your phone. Maybe right now, just even comment. Just comment in the section. I am royal. I cannot believe it. It doesn't make sense. I don't deserve it. But you know what? When you're born into royalty, you don't earn royalty. You receive royalty. Why? Because you're born into it. You don't work for it. Well, to become a CEO, you can work for that. That's a position. But to become the prince, you're born into royalty. And you know, the Bible says that we are born again by the blood of the Lamb. We are born again from heaven. It says that we're a royal priesthood. Priesthood. In the Old Testament, the priesthood, there was a special tribe called the Levites. And the priests, they ministered before God. They were the ones that they were like those special people that had access to God. And they would literally represent God to the people and the people to God. They had priority access to God. They could minister before God. They're a priesthood. The special. Priests were really, really special. And now Peter comes and he says, if you're a believer, you're chosen. He says, and you're royal. And that not just royal, you're a royal priesthood. He says, a holy nation. Remember, a set-apart nation. Set apart. You're holy. He says, a people for his own possession. So I'm royal. I'm a part of the priesthood. I'm set apart for God, holy. And he says, I'm God's own possession. I'm his special possession. He says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friends, do not forget why you are chosen. Do not forget why you're a royal priesthood. Do not forget why you're a holy nation. Do not forget why you belong to God. The reason for all these things is so that you can bring glory to God with your life. The Westminster Catechism reminds us of this, that man's chief end, the reason why man exists, the reason why I breathe every breath, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. See, friends, if you don't believe that you're chosen, if you don't believe that you're a royal priesthood, you can't enjoy God. If you don't believe that you set apart, that you're special to God, that you're his possession, you can't enjoy God. But if you believe the truth about yourself, you'll be able to enjoy God. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'd like to take some time to unpack what I just said there. It's amazing how once you were not a people of God. He doesn't say once you weren't a person of God. He says you were not a people of God. He says once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. We have this mercy. These mercies are new every morning. It started the day you and I accepted Christ. We experienced mercy. He says this. He says that you're a people of God. He also says that God has called us. Can you say called? God has called you and me out of darkness and into his most marvelous light. He's called us out of darkness and into light for a brand new life, a brand new purpose, a brand new destiny. Marvelous, marvelous light. But watch this. Peter, of all people, was very much individualistic in his approach. I remember when Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me, he said, all of these guys might betray you, but not me. And I remember how Peter kept on thinking, me, me, me. I remember how Peter, when the slave girl asked him, listen, weren't you with him? And he's like, no, not me. He was very much about me. But then when he comes and he matures in God and he gets to know God, he starts writing that you are a chosen people, not only a chosen person. He says, you're a royal priesthood, not only a royal priest. He says, you're a holy nation. Nation speaking of a grouping of people. Not like the Jews, but we are now in Christ. There's a new nation, children of Abraham. And he says this, a people, not a person only, a people for his own possession. Now, does that mean that as a person, you're not chosen? No, watch this. You are chosen as an individual. But I believe that you experience more of that chosenness as you understand that you are included in the family of God, in the people of God. I think of David. Remember David? Now, David for me is a classic example of someone chosen by God. I mean, David was chosen by God. Who of you don't know? David, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He was chosen by God. He became God's precious man. He was like a chosen vessel of God. Blessing. What a blessing. But what happened with David? The Bible says that when men rejected David, they did not even invite him when Samuel came to the house. Literally, and I want to say this today, is that you're going to live different after today. You're going to view yourself different because the way we view ourselves often determines the way we live our lives. If you view yourself as someone that is worthless, without value, someone that cannot be a blessing, someone that is just a waste of time, and if you view yourself as a failure, it's going to be very hard for you to live beyond what you view. Because as you see yourself, so you live your life. That's why we need to find ourselves in the scriptures, because the Bible teaches us who we are in Jesus, who we are in Christ. And then when we start viewing ourselves like he views us and like God sees us as we are in Christ, then we start living not our lives, but we start living his life. Now, people view David just as a young boy, look after the sheep, do the menial tasks. We don't even invite you when the prophet comes to town because you're not important. And if you've been excluded and you've been neglected, I'm here to say to you that God loves choosing people like you. I love that. And so what happens to David is David's on the back of the queue. He's not even in the queue. And what happens, the prophet says, is there not another son? We know the story. 1 Samuel, we know the story. And then what happens? David gets invited from the field to come in, and he gets anointed as king. And his anointing empowers, this anointing of the Spirit, the power of God, empowers him to take hold of the destiny of God. But could I argue this? That if David had not been one of the children of God, if he had not been in the family of God, if he had not been part of the people of God, I don't know if he would be chosen to be a king, to be a royal servant in the kingdom of God. I believe that your royalty and your priesthood and your chosenness is closely linked to your connection with God and his people. It's amazing for me how Rahab, she's an outcast. She's part of another nation. She's not in the nation of God, but God chooses to use her as a divine vessel, not only to bring about deliverance for his people, not only to be a vessel to give victory over Jericho, but also to become a great ancestor or grandmother of Jesus Christ. She was David's great grandmother. But here's the thing, friends, that the way that Rahab experienced the chosenness was not excluded from the people of God. It was included. She was grafted in to the plans of God. The same with Ruth. Ruth was excluded. She was a Moabite, but then she was brought in through Boaz and then experienced more of God's chosenness. And if you're far from God yet today, I'm here to say to you that you might be out of the camp, you might be far from God, but God wants to bring you into the family and he wants you to become the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. See, there's a security that comes when you and I know that we have been chosen by God. I'm sure Peter must have wrestled about how he messed up and he disappointed Jesus and how he's not good enough. And then God had to show him that in Christ, in God, he's not in himself, but in God, he's good enough. I'm sure he must have wrestled. See, for me, this is the gospel, is that David wasn't chosen because David was great. David was chosen because God looked at the heart and God was great. Peter wasn't chosen because Peter was great, because clearly Peter had a lot of excesses. Peter was a racist. Go and study it. Acts chapter 10, it was so hard for him to go to someone from a Gentile. Even Paul had to rebuke him for being against non-Jews. Peter struggled with racism. If Peter was living today, Peter would probably have understood what we go through when it comes to our challenges with different cultures and different races. But yet, in his imperfection, not in his own performance, but in Christ's performance on the cross, Peter experiences the reality of being chosen. See, my value and my chosenness is not based on my performance or how well I can do, or even my identity, or even how well I could play the cricket game. My identity, my value is based upon my identity in Christ. See, God has called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But he doesn't want me to be isolated because I'm part of the people of God. I'm part of the priesthood of God. I'm part of the holy nation of God. I'm part of God's chosen possession. And I want to ask you, do you know why you are chosen? The reason why you are chosen is because God loves you and he gave his life for you. I believe that God wants you to today understand and view yourself differently. I believe God wants you to view yourself as a royal priest in the priesthood of God. God wants you to understand that you are chosen with the chosen people of God. God wants you to know that you are holy. God wants you to live out that holiness because you're part of the holy nation of God. Now you might say, but Mark, how am I going to get that right? Three things I want to give you. Three things just before we land, before I tell you about Stephen Lungu's amazing end story, end product of what God did in his life. Three things that I want to help you with. If you want to experience the chosenness of God, if you want to grow in being chosen, if you want to go to work tomorrow, if you want to go to your family, if you want to lead, if you want to minister, if you want to be a blessing, you got to understand what it means to be chosen. You don't walk in there saying, oh, poor, woe is me. You actually walk in there saying, I'm chosen from God. I'm living. I've got an open heaven. Jesus affirms me not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Three things that are going to help you to grow in experiencing God's chosenness and experiencing this reality of being chosen. Number one, and you know this, spend time with Jesus every day. You've got to hear him say your name. You've got to hear Jesus speak to you. You've got to get into God's word daily. You've got to get into prayer. Spend time with Jesus every day. I believe that as we spend time with him, he speaks to us. Write down the truth, friends, because there's a lot of lies. Before you go to Facebook, go to his book. Before you go to Instagram, go to the truth and write down the truth about what Jesus says about your life. Number one, spend time with Jesus and let him speak, let him call you by name. Number two, celebrate your church family. Now, if you're watching from another part of the world, I want to encourage you, get plugged into a local church. If you're in Pottsville and Clarkstorp, I'm saying you, with all the seriousness in me, I'm going to say this, you're going to struggle to experience more of God's chosenness if you are disconnected from God's chosen people. I want to encourage you, you need to celebrate your church family. Gather regularly, because we forget that we're chosen. We forget that we're loved. We forget, and then we need someone to come and remind us. We forget who we are in God. We forget that we're a holy nation. We forget that we're a royal priesthood. We forget so quickly, friends. We need each other to remind ourselves. We need to get into God's word together. We need one another. And then lastly, the third thing that will help you to grow in experiencing how God chooses you is remind other believers. It's amazing. This is going to help you. You're going to say, Mark, how does that help me? I'm here to say to you here that you need to encourage one another. We need to tell others. We need to remind others that they're chosen. Because you know what I've learned? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. When you tell others the truth, you hear yourself say it, and then you believe it even more. You forget, and as you teach others, you yourself grow. I've learned this, and I've proven this. You retain 25% of what you hear, but 75% of what you teach. If you can encourage one another, if we can get into life groups, if we can be connected with one another, we can share the truth, and people's lives can change. I'm no longer my own, my friends. I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. Jim Elliot, we know the great missionary that died on the mission field. He got killed on the mission field, going to preach Jesus, going to tell people that they're chosen by God. And he knew that under God, he was chosen to tell this truth. Jim Elliot was killed on a beach in South America, preaching the gospel. And then when the pilot took the pastor over, the pastor said, I want to go and see where Jim Elliot was killed. And as they flew over this place, the pilot said to Jim Elliot, that's where, to the pastor, that's where Jim Elliot died. And the pastor said, whoa, that's where he got murdered. But he did not die there. He died at the altar rail back at church, at our church, back at home. And this was just where he was killed. I'm here to say to you, friends, that the life we now live in the flesh, we need to live by the faith of the Son of God. It says, Galatians 2 verse 20 says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You want to experience God choosing you? You want to experience the truth of who you are already? Understand that it's not you and me who live anymore. But let's start living this resurrection life, the life of Christ. Jim Elliot himself said, he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. I've got good news for you today. Who you are in Christ, you cannot lose. Your eternal security is in him. Your value is in him. Your chosenness is in him. And when you live the life of Christ, when you live by the faith of the Son of God, your life changes. Back to Stephen Lungu. Stephen Lungu experienced this reality of being chosen. Because as he went to go and kill the thousands of people at a crusade, God said, I've chosen you. Think about being chosen. It's like literally God saying, there's a thousand people, and I say, I want that one. That's what God did with you and me. There's billions and billions of people, and God says, I want that one. And you know what? He says it with every single one of us. God chooses us. And we need to choose to be chosen. We need to accept that free gift. It says this. It says, Stephen Lungu, He was loving this the preaching. He was captivated by the preacher, and these words convinced him about his sins. The Bible says, or this testimony says, and drew him into an encounter with Jesus. He experienced God's presence. He heard about God's grace and peace. Isn't that amazing? Stephen staggered forward to the stage, grabbed hold of the speaker's feet, and began to sob. That evening, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The next morning, he presented himself at the local police station and he confessed his crimes. The desk sergeant looked at the long charge sheet. I mean, he wrote all these crimes down, listened to his stories, and then released him. Isn't that amazing? Boarding a bus with the morning commuters, Stephen felt so happy that he was compelled to tell others on the bus the good news about Jesus Christ. Watch this. At an event a few years ago, an old lady came forward wanting to follow Jesus. And that woman turned out to be his own mother who had abandoned him all those years ago. I believe that God's presence, God's protection, and God's peace are a powerful combination. And Stephen says himself, he says, because I look at myself as a miracle of God's grace, he sees himself as chosen. He sees himself as special in God's eyes. He says, so I believe that the power of Jesus Christ to save sinners still exists. If he can change me, he can change anyone. And I'm here to say to you, friends, that if God can do it for him, he can do it for you and me. I believe that God, firstly, if you're far from God, today is your day of salvation. Today, I want to ask you to reach out to us or get connected to a local church and get the truth. Let God come and change your life. But if you're close to God, I'm here to say to you, friends, understand this. You are already chosen. You're already holy. And just like Stephen, you can make a difference. You can encourage others. You can experience this reality. Bless you abundantly today. Thank you for tuning in with us. I want to pray for us. Father, I pray any person far from you will experience your amazing grace, your amazing love, and your amazing glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray just like Stephen Lungu experienced your amazing grace, your freedom, your forgiveness, Lord, your liberty, your redemption. I thank you that that is not what we have to work for. That's what you worked for. And I pray that people far from you will put their faith in you today. But for us that are close to you, Jesus, I pray right now, every one of us, even as we go into the song of worship, that you'll come and minister to us, that you'll come and do something special, supernatural in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. And also connect us, God, help us to encourage others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.